wasn't expecting to preach, but you never know what you're going to do. I do know this, though. I know I'm called to preach, and if the Lord sees fit to put me up here for some reason, I might as well get up here and do it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what's on your sleeves. It matters what's in your heart, and that's the truth.
Amen.
So, amen. Let's pray. Brother Ken, why don't you pray for us, please?
Lord, again, Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for the glory we have in our soul, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for my brother Joe up there tonight, God.
Amen.
Speak to him, Lord.
God, help.
God, just help us to receive your word, God. Just to apply it to our lives and just to do right by it, God. If there's someone here lost, Lord, on their way to hell, God, I ask you to save them, Lord. And for all those in here that are saved, God, I ask you to convict us, Lord, to live for you and live like we believe in the book. I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, go ahead and sit back there. Preacher, okay. Sit back there. Move to the side then, bud. All right, I'll go ahead and stick this on. I was thinking about what to do, and you never can go wrong when you talk about the Lord, the day of the Lord, that is, and the Lord coming back. As I was praying, the Lord just really touched my heart, you know, when I was praying and thinking about that. And, you know, when the Lord does come back, you know, it's okay to be selfish once in a while. When the Lord comes back, you know, if you're having trouble with your car, no more trouble. If you're having trouble with your wife, no more trouble. If you're having trouble with anything in your life, the Lord's going to fix that up. You know, because we get so wrapped up in this world and our bills and our cars and, you know, what we're going to do and buy a house or move into an apartment or don't know where we're going to live or what we're going to drive or what job we're going to do. And the devil's really good about bogging you down with this life, and we're really good about following him and letting him do it.
That's right.
And that's the truth. So I figured what I'll do for a little while, and I think the Lord will jump in. Matter of fact, I know he will, because I'm going to talk about the day of the Lord for a little while.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about the Lord coming back. I want to run some verses that I've got here. I haven't, the end of this message is pretty much all a salvation message. But I bet you I probably have about a dozen or so verses I can go ahead and run and talk about the day of the Lord for a little bit. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. Now, as you're turning there, I'd like to ask you this. How many, by show of hands, you don't even have to raise your hand, but if I was to come up and ask you, can you give me 5 verses on the Lord coming back? I wonder if you could do it. Off the cuff, without looking in your Bible. Could you do it? How about 1? Why do you think that is that most Christians can't do that? Maybe because they're not looking for them to come back.
That's right.
They're looking for the next tax return.
Amen.
They're looking for the next good time on a Friday night. That's what the problem is.
Amen.
The day, you know, the main theme of the Bible is not winning souls. Do you realize that?
Amen.
I'm not against it. I think you should win souls. I love going street preaching. I love handing out tracts. But the main theme of this Bible is a king coming back to sit on his throne and take over his kingdom.
Amen.
Because that's the day of the Lord. All throughout this whole entire Bible, that's the theme of the Bible. So, Christian, don't forget that.
Amen.
Don't forget how important that doctrine is, the day of the Lord, because you know what it does? It should dictate your motives in life. It should dictate your daily walk with God is the day of the Lord.
That's right.
Because when he comes back, you're going to have to give an account of your life.
That's right.
And so am I.
That's
right. And I'm just as dirty as rotten as most of you in here, probably worse than a lot of you. But I have to give an account just like you will. So let's take a look at a few verses here. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. Look down at verse 11. Where'd he go? There you are. You all right back there? You all right? Cool. All right. Good. All right. Isaiah chapter 2. We'll start down and look in verse 11. The lofty looks of man. We could stop right there. Because I'm probably getting some right now from some of y'all. Just kidding. I see you looking. Now here, look. The Bible says, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled. And you know, that's what the Lord's going to do. We can stop right there for a moment. When the Lord comes back, it's a humbling day.
Right.
It's a day of reckoning. And the lost man that puffs himself up, the bodybuilder with the 55-inch chest and all these worldly guys are making millions of dollars, it's going to be a humbling day. It really is. They think, oh, there is no God, and all these great CEOs and executives of all these great companies and driving around all these space cars and everything else that halfway float and drive themselves. When the Lord comes back, they're going to be humbled.
Amen.
They're going to have no job, no car. They're going to take a mark. They're going to be running. They're going to be scared. It's going to be a terrifying day.
Right.
And if you're saved in here, you're not going to be here.
Right.
But if you're not, guess what? You're going to be humbled. So I'll say this as a side note before I even jump into here. It's a good time to get humbled now instead of later.
Right.
Do you know that? That's just the truth that you can apply to your Christian life in general. It's good to humble yourself now before the Lord grabs a hold of you and humbles him, you know, humbles you, you know, in sight of all people. And that's a true statement. Because the Lord deals with your heart over and over again about whatever it may be. I don't know what's going on in your lives tonight. But I know this, the Lord deals with you. And he expects you to do something about it. And if you don't do something about it, you know, I told one of my kids today, we were talking about it. I forget the question. It was something about the Lord dealing with you. I said, sometimes, I said it to my junior church. I said, sometimes the Lord will slap you around.
That's
And sometimes he'll sit you down and be gentle with you. And he'll have a nice, soft conversation. That's how the Lord deals with me most of the time that way. And I don't know why, because I deserve to be slapped around. If I get hit, if I die tonight on the way home, you know, I guess I'm not right with God, but I deserve it, and so do you. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about my life and who I am in comparison to that great and dreadful day, the day of the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. And you can put yourself in the same boat. Take a look at what the Bible says here again in Isaiah chapter 2. Look down at verse 11. I was talking about the humbling, right? It says, and the lofty looks of man, verse 11, shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down. That's the whole thing, bowing down of men. Because the Lord has a controversy, not only with his nation, but with men. All the God-rejecting lost people all throughout the ages is going to be stewed down in a fine poison when the Lord comes back, and he's going to take vengeance on those people there. That's horrifying.
That's right.
It's totally horrifying.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
And you know what? You should be glad too.
Amen.
So as you hear me talk about some of these issues, oh, that's horrible. It is horrible. But thank God you don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
I'm thankful. Not only that, take a look at this. It says, we'll take a look at verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, and shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan. And it goes on, and it talks about every high tower. And verse 17 again, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, over and over again, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. No more people being exalted. The Lord himself will be exalted in that day.
Amen.
There'll be no Christian there to do it. He's going to do it himself.
That's right.
You know, that's one thing that I love about the Lord is he always rolls up his sleeves and does the dirty work his own self.
Yeah.
You ever notice that about God? That's how I like to be. I like to get down and dirty. I like to get things done. I do my best. I don't mind getting dirty. And neither does the Lord. The Lord likes to clean you up. That's why. And I appreciate that. The Lord's in the cleaning business. We're talking about these carpets and some of these pews, and they are nasty. They really are. Some of you guys are real nasty in here. I walk by here, and there's all kinds of junk. I got kids. I know what it's like. The Lord's going to clean you up. And then he's going to come back and forcefully clean up this earth,
right.
The day of the Lord.
Amen.
It's coming. It's a terrifying experience. It really is. And look at Isaiah, excuse me, chapter 13. We'll run a few more references here. I'm trying to get you to think a little bit. I know you're going back to work on Monday. I realize the pressures of life that you got going on. I'm trying to get you inside of your mind a little bit, maybe even your heart as well. Get you thinking about the Lord. Get you thinking about when he comes back.
Yeah.
Because on Monday, about 12 o'clock, you're thinking about your sandwich and this and that, and you don't even worry about the Lord. Because that's how Christians are. Is you got the cares of this life, like it says in Matthew chapter 13.
Right?
The deceitfulness of riches. You got all these things that creep up in your life and just attack you. Like a bunch of chiggers running through the woods. They just leap onto you and they just attack you. But you ought to be mindful of the day of the Lord. And that's what this little message is going to be about. So down in Isaiah chapter 13, look at verse 6. It says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Why would you howl? You ever think about that? So guess what? Either you're in trouble or it's not talking about you. Because you know what? I'm not howling at the day of the Lord. I'm thankful. I can't wait for the Lord to come back. I really can't.
Amen.
But those that are here, they're going to be left behind, as you hear. There's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, a lot of howling. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Just like an atheist in a foxhole. Sam Kinison on his deathbed, he cursed God all the time. But in that car wreck that was on fire and he was dying, you know what? His last words, oh, God, dead. Really? I thought there was no God. You're an atheist, right? Big rich comic? What do you mean God? Why does a man always go to that? I'll tell you why, because he's been rejecting his conscience for 55 years, or however old he was. And he's rejecting his conscience, and his last dying breath was, oh God. Because that's the only hope he's got. But only he was probably way too late. That's the truth. And it's coming. The day of the Lord's coming. And I hope it's tonight. I hope it's tonight. I hope it's before I get home. I do. I hope it's before I say the next word. Why? Because I'm tired. I'm a wimp. I'm tired of it. You get wore out in this battle.
Yeah.
You get totally wore out with this life. You get wore out in this battle. And how many of you in here, don't even raise your hand, but how many of you in here have felt like quitting before? Probably 10 times a day. Some of you need to get started before you think about quitting. But
yeah.
Seriously, though, it's true. I speak by experience because I speak as a fool because I know me. And you know you. And that's why I want the Lord to come back.
Amen.
and get us out of here.
Amen.
You know, there's over 1,000 verses in the Old and New Testaments talking about the Lord coming back. Over 1,000. That's a lot. It's a lot of verses. I would venture to say this. Matter of fact, I will say this emphatically. It's very important. The day of the Lord, when he returns, it's the most important day. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about God's Son. It's not about you. It's about God's Son. That's why it keeps saying humbling, 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 humbly. Man brought low, haughtiness, low, 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 low. Why? Because part the way, here he comes, Jesus of Nazareth. He's coming down that highway, and he's taking his throne, and he's going to take what's his, whether you like it or not, and whether I like it or not. But you know what? I do like it. I'm fired up inside right now. My spirit's like, yeah, because I'm with the King. And I know he's coming back. And when he comes back, I'm on his side. And I might not, amen, I might not be in the front of the row, but I'm there. You know what I mean? I might be a little bit dusty and dirty, but my knees might be a little messed up. But guess what? I'm there. And you could be there too if you're not saved in here. Because I venture, I know the Bible's right, and the Bible says that there's probably some people that aren't even saved in here. So maybe somebody that's older that thought they were saved, but they're not. I don't know. God knows. I'm just saying. But when you compare yourself to the day of the Lord and that second advent and take a snapshot of who you are next to who God is, you'll feel awful humble, and you feel awful dirty. And you know what? It'll cause you to reckon yourself and think about God.
That's right.
Amen. Let's take a look at some verses here before I get too carried away. Isaiah 13, look down at verse 6. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. As I illustrated, it shall come as a what? Destruction. Oh, no, Jesus loves you. Everything's great. Just kumbaya, break out the guitars and the banjos, eat some cookies, and have some Jesus love, right? No, yeah, right. Bible says it's a day of destruction. You better howl because, you know, there's a verse in here that says the Lord's going to wake up like a drunkard and shake the earth.
That's right.
That's the God of the Bible. It's not kumbaya, where's Jesus with the long hair and the white robe. The God of this Bible is a warlord. The God of this Bible is coming back to ruin this earth, which we all grow to love so much and get so rooted and grounded in this earth. We don't want to think about God. Because you know he's about to destroy it. It doesn't mean much to me. I have a nice truck and a nice van, but honestly, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. We may be getting ready to buy a house. I've been working and saving everything else, but you know what? Honestly, it doesn't really mean that much to me. Anybody that knows me knows it doesn't really mean that much to me. Because in the end of all things, hey, I'm either going to die or I'm going to be with the Lord or he's going to come back. And it really doesn't matter. If you can just get in that mindset, your life will be a whole lot easier.
Amen.
You realize that?
Amen.
You know what I mean? Even you have some family troubles or whatever it might be. If you just get it resolved in your mind and your heart that you know the Lord's coming back and whatever trials and tribulations in this life that you may be going through, that you're doing it for the Lord because you know he's coming back. You know what? You'll be able to take a whole lot more than you think you can.
Amen.
With that mindset.
That's right.
Do you realize that? But what happens is we turn ourselves inside out on ourselves and we say, woe is me. Woe is me. I just can't handle it. And no, you can't handle it, and I can't either. But the Lord will handle it.
Amen.
And he's going to handle it when he comes back. And I can't wait to see that.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 13 again, in verse 7. Therefore, because of these things I just said, shall all hands be faint. And every man's heart, not just some, Bill Gates, Donald Trump, if he's not saved, if you're listening to this, I hope you're saved. But your heart, Donald, guess what? Yeah, it ain't going to stand up for the Lord. It says every heart, everyone. You can't stand up to that. How many times I've witnessed to people and I've heard them say all kinds of things like, you know, oh, when the Lord comes, I got something to show him, or I'm going to go into hell and take over. And I said, you don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Right.
You haven't read a lick of this book. You're listening to some sugary slop called preaching. I don't know where you're hearing it from, but you're not listening to the Bible.
Amen.
You're not listening to the Bible. You know what I love more than anything in this world? My flesh hates it. Is Bible preaching.
Amen.
It's when you actually get some Bible preaching.
Amen.
There's something inside of me is like I'm like I've been thirsty all day long in 120 degrees, and I just get some water, and it's just delicious.
Amen.
When you get some good, solid doctrine, some good Bible preaching, it knocks all the other junk out of your head. That's how I look at it.
Amen.
You know what I feed on? Bible knowledge. I feed on Bible doctrine.
Amen.
Hey, the songs don't get me through, folks.
Right.
The meat of that word gets me through.
Right.
You can go ahead and stick on, and I don't care if you agree or not. I'm just telling you what I believe. I believe this, that the songs ain't going to get you through. The emotionalism at the altar is not going to get you through. Why is that? Because it's by God's word. And his word alone. Every word of God. Right? Man shall what? Live. It's not going to cut it, folks. If you're not in your Bible and getting that meat and devouring it and asking questions and finding out what's really going to happen, you're going to live a very shallow, weak Christian life. And your boat's going to get rocked, and you're going to jump off, and you're going to fall on your knees and be a crying mess and don't know what to do. Why? Because you don't have the meat inside of you. That's why. My little baby, 1 year old, we chew up steak, and we give it to him. Why? I want him to get strong. That boy eats a half a pound of steak just about. He's worse than this one was. We give him meat. We want him to be strong. You need some meat. This is a meaty subject. You think about this. I mean, Ryan, I wrote it. Where are you at, Ryan? I got a saying in the back of it. He said this one Sunday. He said something about, you want to be strong? Beef up on this. And he held the Bible out. I wrote that in the back of that book. It's a good saying.
Amen.
You should. Because most of you spend more hours on Facebook than you do in the book.
Right,
it's true. You think about that. Your social media network. I know people that tell me, that, hey, I put a restraint on my cell phone, where it times the hours that I spend on Facebook, that automatically will turn it off when it hit too many hours. You're sick in the head. You have a serious mental disorder if you have to do that stuff. I'm sorry. You better get things checked out. If you've got to limit your Facebook hours because, you know, that's just, to me, that's so foreign, it's crazy. It really is. I'm not saying don't check it. I got Facebook. I don't post on it. I look at all you fools on there. You just see what the stuff's on there. Some of you, no, I'm just kidding. But some of you are like, oh, no, what do you see, right? But I'll be honest with you, there are some Christians that post some garbage.
Right, amen.
There's links, I don't know if you guys know, but there's a link to this church on there that another, you know, if you click on that link and look at what somebody said and look at her Facebook post, there's a bunch of F words on there. And she's on the church, yeah, she's on the church page with that stuff on there. That stuff will just slide right in there. You don't even realize it.
Right.
Why is that? Because you're caught up in this world.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about the Lord. Where's the Lord's Facebook page about the second advent? Anybody put up a page about it? No. Why? Because you got a picture of your car, your house, your kids, selfie. What's up with selfies, dude? What is that? I look at you and not. Do I look pretty to you? No. You want a selfie of Joe, 55 pages of Joe? What is that? What is that? Yeah, I'll tell you what that is. That's misguided emphasis. That's what that is. That's a misguided emphasis. So when that Lord comes back, he's going to shut your Facebook page off. Sorry, guys. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to cause about 500 million teenagers to drop dead of a heart attack in 30 seconds. When you take their cell phone away from them, anxiety triggers, and they start going crazy.
Yeah.
They start going and shaking and doing all this stuff and flopping on the floor. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Huh, Mom took my cell phone away. I'm like, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? All right, enough on the cell phone. Back to the Lord, right? So Isaiah chapter 13, look down in verse, where was I at? 8. And they shall be afraid. Who's they? It's all the people that are left behind, all those that have to face the Lord at this terrible day. Pangs and sorrow, that's pains and sorrows, shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. What is that? I've watched 4 of them so far, all natural for my wife. I don't want no parts of that. Not me, brother, sister. I don't even want to watch it. I'm tired of watching that. I'm serious.
Well, quit.
Amen. Yeah, right? But that's what the Bible says. It's funny, and I want to laugh and have a good time, and it is funny, but why did the Lord use that analogy? Because at the moment of birth is the closest a woman is to death. Do you realize that? So it's going to hurt like that. Women, you know what I'm talking about. I have no idea. I mean, I see it secondhand. My wife, I think, is the toughest woman on 2 legs to do it 4 times without any cut, not even an aspirin. I'm like, I'd be on drugs the day I got pregnant if I was a woman. I'm serious. It ain't going to happen. It's just, right? It's hilarious, right? It's funny. But the truth of the Bible is the Lord uses that analogy. The Lord uses that analogy as a painful time for some people. And it's going to be a terrible time. Not only that, let's take a look. Let's keep going. Where was I at? Verse 13. 8, thank you. And they shall be afraid, and pangs, which is pains, and sorrow take hold of them. And it goes on, and they shall be amazed at one another, at the end of the verse. Their faces shall, oh my, don't even read that verse. Just don't look at it. Hold on. What does it say? That's horrible. That's what it says. It's not kumbaya, I love you, Jesus, bring me some sandals and a robe, let my hair grow long, sick, and a pony. No, it's, he's going to devour these folks with flames, and their faces are going to melt off of their bodies. That's, hey, look, you can get mad at me if you like. I'm just showing you, the Lord don't play around. And when he comes back to rightfully take over, he has taken, like, you know, the Bible talks about a woman in bitterness and all that kind of stuff, and you go up on a house or a rooftop and all that kind of stuff, because we get bitter in our hearts. The Lord's been bitter for how many thousands of years now? Against sin, against your rotten, filthy, wicked stuff that you think about and do. The Lord's been bitter and angry and jealous and mad about that for years and years and years and years. And it's all bottled up. And guess what? He's going to rip the top off of it, and he's going to come out like a drunk, like a staggering drunk, ready to take on the lion. And he does, and he wins. Matter of fact, he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, isn't he? That's the Bible. Christian, you ought to think about this. This is the God of the universe whom you serve. That same one that put that sun up in that sky that you look at every day, just as a reminder of his power. You can't even glimpse of it with your eyeballs for very long. It'll burn right out of your head. I'll just use eclipse glasses. No, you won't. Not with the naked sun. That sun's behind something, or some kind of weird cloud stuff's going off with that. You cannot look at that sun. Right. And that's just, he went like this. There's the sun. There it is. That's a hangnail. There it is. That's what you're dealing with. So let me ask you a question. In light of these things, how are you doing? How are you doing? Have you even thought about the Lord coming back in weeks, months, days, years, decades? Have you acted like it? I don't see you on the street. You don't have to come streets preaching. You don't have to, but I'll tell you what. I've seen other people that are in the church walk by. I've seen former church members go in the bar and drink and get drunk while I'm preaching on the street. I've seen it. I can name them. But I won't, because some of their parents still go to this church. You know what I'm saying? That to say this is that the day of the Lord's not very important to that person, is it? Why is that? Because he lost his first love, if he's even saved at all. That's the truth. And maybe this is a message to some of you thinking about this, that maybe you've lost a little something. I have. I do at times. We all do. Pastor does. He'll be a man. He'll tell you, hey, there's some days where I got to make myself shout. There's some days I don't even feel like getting out of bed. There's some days I don't even feel like I'm saved. I got to tell myself often, you heard all those things from all these preachers. Why is that? Because we're just like you, and we're just as filthy and just as rotten and have the same battle that I've got, you've got, that he's got. That's right. But you know what? You know what will help you? Is thinking about this stuff right here. Thinking about what's coming up. Amen. Because that's coming. And it'll motivate you to do some things.
That's right.
It'll motivate you to behave a little bit better.
Amen.
It'll motivate you to take things a little bit better in stride. It'll motivate you to tell somebody else about that.
Right.
It motivates me on the street. I love talking about this. There's a story where when I first started learning how to preach on the street, somewhere around 17, 16 years ago, Gilbert, Eugene were down there with me. We're in Philadelphia. And, I mean, those guys were preaching on fire and brimstone. I mean, just as hot and as hard as they could, just letting it go. And we're in Philly, and I'm just standing there like this, like just praying. And I see this guy. He's all the way across the street. He's this, he's a dark guy, black guy, and he's all dressed up in leather, but real nice. He wasn't like, you know, he's all nice, like real nice guy, almost like a business guy, right? And he's going like this, like a pinball machine, back, forth, back, forth. I'm like, what's going on? The Lord, the second advent's going on, and he's getting hammered by the Lord. The guy just beelines right towards us, looks at us, crying all down all his leather. Car, stop, and he's just going right across the street. Just like, it was beautiful. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life as a Christian.
Amen.
It wasn't, hey, brother, how you doing? It was, let's get down and get saved. Boom, down he went.
Amen.
Lord, boom, dealt. He was saved before he walked across the street, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. You say, that's heresy. No, it's not. No, it's not. The Lord wants you to take that step, okay? And he makes it easy for you. Just like he makes it easy for you to get things right when you're not right with God. You know what I like? The Lord, it's not easy believism, but it's an easy thing to get right with God. But you know, the problem is, it's because of, like the Bible says with the second advent, that all these hundreds of millions and billions, 7 billion or 6 billion or however many saved gets out of here, whatever's left, it's a lot. It's hundreds of millions, right?
That's right.
And they all have a humble, prideful heart. That's the same element. That's what keeps you from getting right with God. is a hard heart. That's what helps, that's what hinders you rather from seeing things how they really are. It's a hardness of your heart. And you don't understand what really is going on. Because you can't step outside the box because it's all about you. This whole Hallmark world and all the commercials and all the different holidays we have, it's all about you, me. And the Lord says, no, it's about me.
Amen.
But you don't realize it. You know, I think this is one of the roughest times to be a Christian. Yeah, I realize we're not getting, you know, our heads ripped off, and I won't get into a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of kids in here. I'll be respectful. But we're not being tortured and persecuted, at least not in America. It probably happens in other places, right, for sure. But spiritually, my opinion on the matter is, and the Bible concurs with it, that it's the roughest time to be a Christian because you're pulled in so many different directions.
Right.
As technology increases, I carry two cell phones, two laptops, two iPads with me every single day. I work for Verizon. And everybody's always calling me and doing this and this training and this building and this. It's like I feel like it's that stretchy Superman thing. I just feel like I'm stretched all the way out to my limits. I feel like I'm ready to pop some days. And I'm not alone. A lot of you in here feel the same way.
Yeah.
You really do.
That's right.
But you know what happens? That popping thing, it's going to pop. The bottle's coming off. The cork's coming out. And the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
And you got to realize that.
That's right.
What you're going through is only temporal. I don't care how bad it is.
Right.
It's only temporal. And you need to be reminded of that thing. Because the Lord's coming back. Maybe he's coming back tonight. Maybe that's why he put this in my heart. It would be great. Amen. Maybe the Lord's going to take someone here out tonight. I hope not. God forbid. We've been through enough in this church. But maybe tonight is time for you to get some things right in your life. Just maybe tonight is a day for you to humble yourself now. Because that's what the Lord's looking for. And he's going to force it on you if you're lost when he comes back. That's what the Bible says. We'll run a couple more verses here. I wasn't expecting to take this twist at all. But that's just the way it goes. Maybe that's what the Lord wants.
Amen.
You know, I don't understand how the Lord keeps on, you know, he must have all the time in the world, which he does. He really must have all the patience in the world, which he does. Because if I was the Lord, I wouldn't deal with me as long as he has, with my junk, let alone you and your junk and the stuff you're going through.
Right, right.
The same thing, I'm sorry, Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I'm sorry, sorry. Just shut up already. That's what I would say if I was the Lord. I'm tired of you. Get away from me, you little brat. Right? He's laughing because he feels that way, being a pastor. He wish he could do that, right? I could say that. But it's true. And so the Lord's mercies were not consumed, right? They renew day by day. And that's another thing I love about the Lord, is we're in a time of grace and mercy right now. That time's going to be over soon. You know how easy it is to get right with God right now? It's simple. It's so easy. Yet so few do it. That puzzles me. That puzzles me. Why is that? You're already thinking about what? What's more important than this? Look, I'm in a Carhartt t-shirt talking about this stuff. Where are you going to get this at in America? The fundamentalists would kick me out of the church right now if they walked in here, right? Because I don't have a tie on. Ken came back and said, do you want to put my shirt and tie on? I said, no. No, right? I said, first of all, I won't fit in the thing. Second of all. Yeah. The Lord saw fit, so there it is. But I'm just saying this tonight is just take all the stuff that I'm saying. I know some of it's funny, but listen, think about the Lord coming back. Think about truly, as the Bible says, don't make up something in your head of this white horse and things are going to, look what the Bible says. I challenge you to pull out 10 verses and just take a look at what's really going to happen. Because some of you, I dare to say, some of you probably have never read more than 20 verses on the Lord coming back in here. And a lot of you have been saved a long time, and you really don't study the Bible. And I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to help you. Because when you go through the hard times, which I have in my life, anybody that knows me, I've been through the ringer on a few things. Pastor can agree. But you know what's kept me and my wife and my life together is the King James Bible. If it wasn't for this book, I would be a mess. And so would you. And when you know what I find in a Christian's life is when their life is a mess and things aren't going right, it's because they're not in the book. They're not getting that meat. They're going to McDonald's and getting their Sundays all the time. That's what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? You know, how many times are there people that should be here that aren't even here in Sunday school? Why does Sunday school look like a graveyard? Why is that? I don't understand that. And how many times do you see people in the parking lot or out there talking or down the street or doing whatever they're doing instead of being in Sunday school?
Amen.
Why is that? And there's times where I have to be pulled out and my kids are this or my work calls. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a willingness to be faithful, excuse me, and get under some good Bible preaching and doctrine. Why is that? I'll tell you, number one reason is the devil does not want you to do it. Like I talked to the kids today in junior church is when the devil came right in there with Eve and messed with that woman and messed up this whole sin thing. He did it by messing with the doctrine. And that's what it'll do to you. So I'll get off of this side. I'll get off of this rabbit and this hobby horse. But let me just encourage you to say this. Get in Sunday school. Get under the sun. There's some really good stuff that comes. Sometimes it's not so great. not from him. But sometimes, you know, everybody doesn't hit a home run all the time. It's life. You know, get over yourself. But I'll tell you right now, there's some good stuff that goes through Sunday school. There are so, you get doctrine in this church like you don't get anywhere else. Anywhere else. I'm not only that, but you get entertained in this church. You really do. It's just the truth. It's funny. We have a good time in church. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let your emotions take over your doctrine. Don't mistake an emotional stirring and somebody crying for the Lord moving. Because sometimes the Lord ain't moving and you're just crying. If it's real, you know it's real. The Lord knows it's real. And it lines up doctrinally with this Bible. Okay? That's why there ain't rattlesnakes flying around and everybody flopping on the ground and speaking in tongues, because it don't line up with this book. If that stuff starts happening, I'm going to drag you out of this church and throw you in the parking lot. That's just the way it's going to be. And then I'll leave if it keeps on going on, because that's not Bible. That's not Bible. I don't know how I got on that. But let's look at this another. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll be done here very shortly. About, what is it, about 5 after 7? I guess I got a few minutes. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. That's funny because look at 9, 3, or actually that's chapter 2, but that's okay. 2:9, I was talking about temptations. I'll hit on this for a moment, then I'll move on. I was talking about that to the kids today, temptations, you know, and Charlotte came up with a wonderful question. She says, why did the Lord, you know, something like, you know, make the tree? If, you know, Lord knew that, you know, Eve and Adam were going to mess up and everything else, why did the Lord do that? That was a wonderful question. I wonder if some of you could give a good answer. Why did the Lord allow temptations in your life? Why? Why is that? I know, Eric, that's your what's your favorite verse in the Bible? For his pleasure. Evil was created by God for his pleasure. He said, I don't get it either. But you know what? The temptations that you fight every single day, the things that you go through, if you resist them, it gives the Lord pleasure. The Lord didn't create a bunch of robots. No, the Lord created a bunch of beings. This is the exact answer that I gave her. The Lord created a bunch of beings with free choice. You have a choice of what you do. The devil didn't make you do it. You did it. I'm tired of hearing that. It's not the devil's fault. It's your fault. You messed up. You looked at that thing. You did something. Whatever the case may be, it's your fault. Yeah, the devil's involved. Sure he is, but I'm not giving him any credit. It's your fault. But the Lord can deliver you from it before it happens. I've had that happen in my own life. I've got 10 stories I could tell you of things happening in my own life that the Lord has protected me from.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so back to the verse I was talking about, 2 Peter chapter 3. Look down at verse 10, okay? I'm going to wrap it up here shortly. That's a lie. Whenever a preacher says that, it's never shortly. He's never wrapping it up, right? Here we go. 2 Peter chapter 3, look down at verse 10. Look at 9 first. I like this. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. It's in the context of him coming back. It's a promise, okay?
Amen.
And he's coming back. It says, as some men count slackness. Oh, don't worry about it. He's never coming back. A guy named Archibald. Okay, you look up here for a quick second. Quick illustration on that verse there. I worked at an oil refiner for years and years and years when I first got saved. And I was really on fire. And I witnessed to all the guys. And I was just like kind of nuts a little bit, right? But this one guy, I kept witnessing to him over again. His name was Archibald. He kept saying, nah, come on. They've been saying that for years. The Lord ain't coming back. Within a month, he dropped dead in that oil refinery of an aneurysm in his heart. Done. I said, oh, my. Isn't that something? I wonder if the Lord had enough putting up with him saying that. You know what? He did. He really did. That's crazy. The Lord's not slack. And he had a chance to hear it, but he rejected it.
Yeah.
Amen.
He rejected it.
Amen.
But as long-suffering the Lord is. Now, that's funny because sometimes he's not long-suffering. Like Archibald, he didn't have another chance. That was it. Sometimes the Lord will be done with your shenanigans and then he'll bring the hammer down. I don't want that to happen, especially not to me, my family, or you, or your family. Continuing on, it says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's how the day of the Lord's coming, like a thief. It says, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be what? Burned up. All gone. Excuse me. Talking about future prophecy is that I've been listening to a couple of different shows and podcasts. And the big buzz now is like the AI, the artificial intelligence stuff. You know what I'm talking about? The AI stuff where the computers are going to take over the world and all that stuff. Well, that's probably really not going to happen forever. But the Bible does say this. It's just not possible. Because the technology that you see, like the self-driving cars, it's really not like artificial intelligence. It's programming and cameras, and we're really like a long time away from robots coming to your house on their own will to attack you. It's just not going to happen, not for a long time. But I do know this. The Bible says that there's going to be 10 kings, and the Bible says that there's going to be what? There's going to be something mingled in there with that flesh. I wonder what that is. It's the AI stuff, and it's going to happen. But the Lord is in control over it. That's some crazy stuff, Brother Joe. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the Bible. Amen. If you're making that comment in your mind, it's because you've never read it. You should read Daniel. You should check it out because it's in there. It's like the ragu, Joe Ragu. It's in there. You ever heard him say? Showing my age, right? That's some pretty old stuff there. But it's true. It's true. People get upset when they hear stuff, doctrine, some heavier stuff. Why? Because they don't get in the book. They don't get in the Bible. They look at you like you have two heads and they want the sap and the syrup back. They want to feel good about themselves. I don't want you to feel good about yourselves. Everyone's like, really? Really? No, I don't. Because it's not about you. Yeah. It's about him.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Because we worry about ourselves too much. Yeah. It's not you, it's him. And the day of the Lord, when he comes back, it's going to be all about him. And the Lord is one selfish being. Let me tell you something. To make 1,000 verses on what you're going to do to somebody, you know what? He's not selfish. He's true, righteous, and holiness. And he's a man of wrath, and he's coming back to do it. So I would urge you, if you know someone that's not saved, maybe give them this sermon or one like it, and just let them know, show them some of these verses, because it's a real thing, and it is going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen. So I'll go ahead and give you a couple more verses here. Where was I at? 3:10. Yep, she'll be burned up. And I talked about that already, Isaiah 9:6, chapter 9, 6 through 7. And that's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. That's the main theme of the Bible, okay? And I'll skim through here this a little bit. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll give you a few more verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. How are we doing, okay?
Amen.
Is it making sense?
Yes, sir.
It should be. If you're lost in the sauce right now, it's because you're not reading the book. It's not because Brother Joe's a great preacher. I'm not saying that, and I know I'm not. It's because Brother Joe has read the book, and it's because this is called Bible doctrine, and that's the issue. You're not going to get this from K-Love Radio. You're not going to get this from whatever else the Christian radio is that I hear blaring in some of y'all cars sometimes.
Amen.
That stuff don't help. All it does is put a Band-Aid on the infection that's oozing pus out. You say, that's pretty disgusting, but it's true. You ever have a really bad wound that's got pus coming out? You say, oh, it'll be all right. I did it one time. Miss Ryman almost killed me. My hand was halfway falling off, and I'm like, I'll be all right. She's like, you better go to the hospital. I didn't go, but I should have. I did something else that worked. But that's what it is. You try to cover something up. Look what the Bible says. What did I say? I was in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verse 11. 3:11, the Bible says, now God himself and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another. You shouldn't abound in love. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. Here you go, verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God even our Father, at the what? Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there you go. You have one side of the coin. You're on one side of the coin if you're saved, and you're supposed to be striving to be a better Christian, a better person. You should be striving to love people more that are saved. You should be striving more to have good unity in the church. You should be striving more for those things. And then on the other side of the coin, you got this wicked world that's on a time clock, time bomb going to hell, that the Lord hates them. The Lord's coming back to just destroy them. He doesn't want it to happen, but it's going to happen because he knows all things. That's the way it works out. Now, I hope you're on the right side of the coin today. But I'll tell you this. You might be on the right side of the coin, but you might not be right with God. I think that's probably the biggest issue with Christian life. Matter of fact, I know it is. And that's why you can see it on people's faces. They just have this heaviness about them. Why? Because your conscience bears witness of the truth. You can't be a child. I'm convinced you cannot be a saved, born-again child of God, be living like a total in sin, and then not show on your face. I can see it. I see it in some of these teenagers that come through here. They bust through those doors with their pants hanging down and looking like they're the coolest thing that ever fell out the basketball net. But I can see it on their face. They're troubled.
Yeah.
They're not happy.
Yeah.
Troubled. There's a troubling in that heart.
That's right.
And that's in your faces too, some of you. You know, it'd be a really nice night tonight to get some things right with God. You know, it would just be like a burden is lifted at Calvary. Remember that song? I like that song. You know, there's no greater burden lifted is when the Lord does something for you in your life. There's no greater burden that a man has is when his heart is clean. And you go to sleep tonight and you say, no, Lord, I know I messed up, but boy, I feel good. I got that right with you. Boy, that feels good. It does. And the Spirit bears witness to it. Just like the Spirit bears witness right now in your hearts when you know there's some things in there that aren't right. You know there's some things in there that shouldn't be there. But will you do something about it? I don't want you to get up and cry and run and make. I want you to be serious as a man, woman, or child and take that step. Just like the Lord is serious and telling you what's going to happen when he comes back, he's looking for you to humble yourself and get things right. Do you have enough guts to do that? I'm not asking you to come up here. I really don't care, to be honest. I don't mean to be mean by that. I really don't care. I don't care if you do it where you're sitting right now in your seat right now and nobody knows about it, but you. It doesn't matter to me. You know what matters to me is that I do my job and I say what the Lord wants me to say, and he wants you to hear this. Why don't you get right? Why don't you humble yourself and get right?
Amen.
I don't know why I'm saying this tonight, but I know I'm supposed to. Amen. And I know there's somebody in here that should act upon it. And maybe it's me. And maybe it's you. But will you act tonight? Will you respond to this? Or will you just sit there on your Facebook and run out these doors and just forget about the whole mess?
That's right.
That's the problem. How bad do you want it? Yeah. You know, human beings are amazing people because they can really do some wild and crazy things if they really want to do it. There's a guy that runs 100-mile marathons. There's people that have no legs and they climb Mount Everest. There's people that do all kinds of crazy things. You know why? Because they really want it. They really want it. You know what God wants? He really wants you to want him.
Amen.
That's what God wants. And that's the problem. Is there times that you really don't want them? But deep down in your heart, you know that you do. So why don't you respond? However the Lord wants you to, why don't you just respond and say, Lord, I know that I've made a mess of things, including me. I'm praying myself. Lord, I know I've made a mess of things. Lord, I know I deserve some really bad things, but I thank you, God, that you're so merciful. Lord, I humble myself tonight under these circumstances. You know what I'm going through. And I ask you to please help me and teach me how I should respond to these things. And you know what? He'll do it. That's the kind of God that we serve.
Amen.
That's the kind of things that shouts are made of. That's the kind of thing that makes a Christian real.
Amen.
Because God is real.
Amen.
And it's not a game. I wasn't expecting this tonight whatsoever. But I'm thankful that I'm saved tonight. And I'm thankful that I have daily opportunities to get things right with God.
Amen.
Like so many up here are already doing right now. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Now, when you go home tonight, can you go home with a clear conscience saying, I've done business with God tonight? If you want to play something softly, that'd be great. Can you, will you have a clear conscience tonight when you lay down? You know what? I will, and I will sleep like a baby tonight. I wasn't expecting this. Boy, I wasn't expecting this at all tonight. But I'll tell you what, I know that I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
I'm going to give you another couple minutes, another opportunity. Again, I know I've rambled on about a bunch of things, but I want you to think about the Lord coming back. And then think about yourself. There should be a serious contrast there. And if you don't see a serious contrast, you're either not looking at things correctly or you're not saved. Maybe somebody in here has never truly been born again, been saved. Jesus said it himself, you must be born again. It's not something you take lightly where 1, 2, 3, pray after me and you're, no. It's a conviction, it's a heart thing. You must be born again or else you're going to face some of that wrath that I'm talking about tonight. If you're not sure that you're saved, you need to make sure. You need to take care of that thing. Now, I could fill up the altar if I wanted to, and I could say, come up here and pray for everyone in your family. And do that. That's not what this is about tonight. It's about you. This is personal. The Lord is headhunting tonight for you. I'm certain of it now. But will you respond? It halfway breaks my heart thinking about people that I love and care about that won't respond. How do you think God feels? How do you think God feels about your coldness of your heart? That you're like a stone and you just won't move towards him. How do you think God feels? As we get ready to turn it over to the pastor and close this thing out, you have another opportunity. Another minute and a half maybe we'll close the service. You have a chance to take care of some things in your heart with the Lord. I encourage you to do so. And you know what? You'll be happy that you did.